Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight is study number 62. And we are returning to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I'll begin reading from verse 3. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of Jehovah, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that Jehovah called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli, and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And Jehovah called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli, and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know Jehovah, neither was the word of Jehovah yet revealed unto him. And Jehovah called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that Jehovah had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Jehovah, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And Jehovah came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And I'll stop reading there. Now this is the historical record of what actually took place long ago, sometime around 1067 B.C., it would not be too long after when the ark would be taken and Eli would die, and that would be the year 1067. So this is before that point. And this is the first time that God is communicating with young Samuel, Samuel who has been set apart to be a prophet, and yet the Lord has not communicated with him in this manner until now. And he's calling Samuel. And we're not surprised that God is calling Samuel. Actually, the Bible tells us many are called, but few are chosen. And all of God's elect people are called. And we're also not surprised that God is calling Samuel by name. If you remember, we were looking in our last study at how God knows his people intimately. He has a special relationship with them. He knows them exclusively in a saving way because he chose them. He paid for all their sins. He bore them, all their iniquities, and paid for them. And he does not know others in that same way. And that's why the verse we were looking at in Matthew, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." But God knows Samuel, and he's calling him by his name. It says in Isaiah 43 and in verse 1, "But now thus saith Jehovah that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." And God is indicating ownership in the sense of redemption, because he has bought Jacob, and Jacob typifies the elect, with a price. And that was the price of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bought, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians. We're bought with a price, and we are not our own. And so as the Lord calls to Samuel, it's indicative that Samuel is one of these elect. He is known by God, and God has a plan and a purpose for him, for his life, just as God had a plan and a purpose for Jeremiah. And God told Jeremiah, before you were conceived before you were in the womb. I knew you. And that's true of each child of God. The Lord knows his people. And as we were mentioning last time, the world may forget. And God even says that perhaps a mother may forget her child, but he will not forget. He will not forsake his people. He will never leave nor forsake us. He is ever with us, ever watching over us, and ever knowledgeable about everything in our life. It is not by accident. It is not because things are somehow out of order that we are here today living in the day of judgment. We are doing so for a very definite reason. And God has a purpose for each one of us that he knows about, and he knows fully exactly how he is going to bring his elect people through this day. Okay, let's just look at one other, we'll look at a couple of things, but it's interesting that God calls Samuel three times, and Samuel goes to Eli. As it says, after Samuel lays down in verse 4, Jehovah called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I," and he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and laid down, and that happened three times, indicating it was the purpose of God in this happening. God was working things out according to his perfect will, and it was the time for him to begin communicating to Samuel, and Samuel to take the role of a prophet, even as a child, even as a very young boy. God was going to bring revelation to Samuel. And yet God called to Samuel four times. The third time, when Samuel went to Eli, Eli told him that it is Jehovah. And if he calls again, he is to say, "Speak, Lord." And so Samuel went and laid down again. And then the Lord did come a fourth time and spoke to him. And at the fourth time, the Lord called Samuel's name twice in verse 10. And Jehovah came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And it's not all that common for God to call a man twice, to repeat his name. It does happen in the Bible. The first time, I can find four instances of it, counting this. There may be more. I won't say that I exhausted it, but I can't think of any others. The first time that I found where the Lord calls a man's name twice was in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 22, and in verse 11, the Lord called to Abraham. And it says, "And the angel Jehovah called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I." Now that's the same response that Samuel gave. "Here am I." And then the Lord communicated with Abraham concerning finding the ram in the thicket and that he was not to slay his son Isaac. And the second time is in the book of Exodus with Moses in Exodus chapter 3. And this is several hundred years after God spoke to Abraham. And it says in Exodus 3, verse 3, "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when Jehovah saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And then the Lord will basically commission Moses to go to Egypt and to speak to Pharaoh to set the Jewish people free. And the Lord began his communication with Moses by calling his name twice, just like God called to Samuel. And the other time, the fourth time, is in the New Testament, and it's with Saul of Tarsus. I'm going to read Acts 26. It's also found recorded in Acts 9. But in Acts 26, it says in verse 13, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." So once again, God calls Saul. Of course, this was a dramatic conversion. God changed the heart of Saul and he became Paul the apostle. Notice what Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." And he was called, and God called him and also spoke his name twice. So those are the four instances that I can find where the Lord spoke to a man and called his name twice. Now, also with the case of Saul of Tarsus, God spoke about sending him to the Gentiles. And it was the same with Moses. Moses was sent to Egypt. It wasn't that way with Abraham. But in these other cases, it appears God is commissioning his servant to go forth with the gospel. And that's also how it is with Samuel, as Samuel is commissioned to be a prophet. Notice in 1 Samuel 3:21, "And Jehovah appeared again in Shiloh, for Jehovah revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of Jehovah." And then in chapter 4, verse 1, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel." So God comes to Samuel, and then Samuel is sharing the word of God. He's prophesying the declaration that God has spoken to him to all Israel. Another verse that has some of the element that we find here in the Lord calling Samuel is found in Isaiah chapter 6. And it's when Isaiah is shown a vision of the Lord, high and lifted up. The seraphims are crying, "Holy, holy, holy." And it says in verse 5 of Isaiah 6, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, "Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their ears, and hear with their, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. And here the Lord is commissioning Isaiah to first the live coal, is indicating that his sin is purged away, that he's been redeemed, become a child of God, and now he is given the task of going forth. The Lord even asks, whom shall I send? And Isaiah responds, here am I, send me. Now, that's exactly the language of Samuel again and again. If we go back to 1 Samuel 3, verse 4, Jehovah called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And then also in verse 6, and Jehovah called yet again Samuel, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I. And verse 8, and Jehovah called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. So each time the Lord calls Samuel, he responds very directly, here I am. He is not avoiding the Lord. He is not hiding from God. He is not running away from the call of God. And believe me, a lot of people do. Very large numbers of people do not respond to God's call. As it says in Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. And then the Lord goes on to speak of judgment, of destruction. And the reason is because God called and they refused, which is very common with man as they hear the gospel call. But Samuel is demonstrating a willingness, a humility. He is ready to go as Isaiah. Here am I, send me. And it's exactly what the Lord does do. He sends Samuel to Israel, and Samuel will be his prophet, and he will speak the word of God faithfully to the people of Israel. Let's see. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 3 and look into verse 11. And it says, and Jehovah said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And the Lord had already sent a prophet back in chapter 2, and God told Eli these things directly. And now God himself is speaking to Samuel, who he is communicating with as a prophet, and telling him the same thing. He is reiterating what he had said earlier. He is reinforcing it, emphasizing it. And one thing is for certain, which we'll look at a little later, that when Eli asked him what the Lord said, and then Samuel answers, finally, he reluctantly, but he answered and told him exactly what the Lord said, this would be strong confirmation to Eli that it was the Lord who spoke to Samuel, because Eli had already heard this very message, and there's no indication that Samuel had access to that information, that Samuel was there when that prophet told Eli. And Eli would realize, well, this certainly is the word of the Lord. And he would understand that Samuel was a true prophet. Now, going back to verse 11, Jehovah said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." Have you ever heard that saying? Someone thinks that another person is talking about them, maybe talking behind their back, and they say, are you talking about me? My ears are tingling. We still have a form of that expression in our modern day language. And it basically comes from the Bible that God is saying he will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And we can be sure that this is nothing good. There's nothing positive about this at all. This is an extremely negative statement that the Lord is making. If we go to 2 Kings chapter 21, we find this same statement, and the context is very clear. In 2 Kings 21, verse 10, "And Jehovah spake by his servants the prophets, saying, Because Manasseh king of Judah hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah God of Israel, Behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria, and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance, and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day." This is the Lord pronouncing his plan to judge the nation of Judah, to destroy them by the hand of their enemies. And this report, this news, would make any who hear it ears to tingle. It is nothing but evil. It is the judgment of God. The wrath of God is coming upon you. And it's the same thing regarding Eli and his house and Shiloh. It is because of their unfaithfulness. And the Lord has already laid out a list of sins that Eli, the high priest, and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are guilty of. And for this, the Lord will destroy the house of Eli. He is going to destroy Shiloh, and he is going to lift up the enemies of Israel, the Philistines, to be victorious in battle, to be victorious in even taking the Ark of the Covenant out of Shiloh, out of the hands of the Israelites altogether, and into their cities in the land of the Philistines. Of course, that is such an incredibly terrible judgment that the Lord reserves this type of saying. It is so bad. The word tingle is also translated as quiver one time, and it refers to someone whose lips quiver and their lips are shaking. I think we've seen a person or two who may have that kind of problem and their lips just shake. Well, God is indicating that the individual who hears these things, once God has come down in heavy wrath, for instance, when the ark itself is taking that is unparalleled. It's unequaled in the annals of the nation of Israel. There have been judgments, yes, many judgments in the book of Judges, but nothing like this. And so too, as we read in 2 Kings, when the Lord judges Judah and the Babylonians actually destroy Jerusalem. Well, that's just unheard of, that the holy city of God is taken into the hands of the Babylonians. Well, we'll pick up the study the next time we get together and continue looking at 1 Samuel chapter 3.